guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the science of pair bonding, the science behind when a woman has many partners in her past versus when a guy has many partners in his past. Many times, you know, guys are known to be, throughout time, to be the ladies' man, the guy that can go out and get lots of dates, and he's very popular with the women, but then he settles down, he gets married, he has a family, and supposedly all goes well. Of course, it always doesn't, but supposedly. But when a woman does this, well, it's frowned upon, and it's bad actions, right? But let's break down the science of this, and let's show why there is a difference between a woman and a man in their dating past. It's a very touchy subject, but we have to touch on it because this is why so many men have problems when women come forward and say, I've had X amount of partners, and it's a relatively high number or very high number. This is why guys get uncomfortable and they don't like it. But let's get into this a little bit. Now, first I'll hit the recording here. And yes, there is a social stigma with this, but even if that passes, there's still science here. So I came across this post on Reddit. Everything I'm going to skim over, there's a lot to go over here, but I'm not going to dive too deep. I'm going to touch on the important subjects or the important parts of it. If there's a lot of choppy editing, it's because I got into something that went too deep. I don't want to make this an hour-long video tonight, but I'll leave all the links down below here if you want to check it out and read a little bit deeper on the subject. So on Reddit, and this is what got me down this rabbit hole. On Reddit, a young lady posts and says, I have only one partner. It is my current boyfriend, and I'm happy. But later on, if I decide to have fun, and she's familiar with the men's kind of theory on this stuff and red pill stuff. She says, I don't want to be labeled as a bad person for having a long list of history. And she's only at one. But she says, I'm uncomfortable with the idea that my past matters to other people. Why can't it just be me doing what I want and so on and so forth? She does have a great line in here, though. She says, I hate that my intimacy isn't my own. I hate that anything I try now will become part of my, quote, history, something that I'm morally obliged to disclose to any future partners, and then it's up to them to decide what they think of it. The fact that she went so far to say she is morally obligated to tell them about her past, big thumbs up to her. She's at one boyfriend, one partner. And so, you know, she's thinking about this. And that if she does go kind of crazy, she says, I'm morally obligated to tell them, my future partners. I think that's great. It's a great attitude to have. It's the right attitude to have. But now we're going to dive into why so many men are uncomfortable in relationships and with the number of partners that some women are having out there, and how you start heading down the slope. Now, a lot of this, guys don't necessarily know this in their front brain, but I'm going to explain kind of how we feel about it as we get in on it here. So first thing from psychologicalscience.org, a 48-hour intimacy afterglow. Now, afterglow is their word. It's not my thing, but they say a 48-hour intimacy afterglow helps bond partners over time. And it says intimacy plays a central role in reproduction. It can be pleasurable, but scientific findings suggest that it may serve an additional purpose, bonding partners together. A study of newlywed couples published in Psychological Science, or Journal of the Association for Psychological Science, indicates that partners experience an afterglow that lasts for up to 2 days. And this afterglow is linked with relationship quality over the long term. I'm going to skip down here because, like I said, we have a lot to go over. It says, on average, participants reported having intimacy on 4 of the 14 days of the study, so once about every 3 days, and answers vary considerably across participants. Importantly, intimacy on a given day was linked with lingering satisfaction over time. Having intimacy on a given day was linked with satisfaction that same day, which was also linked with satisfaction the next day and even 2 days after. In other words, participants continued to report elevated intimacy satisfaction 48 hours after a single act. And it says, overall participants' marital satisfaction declined between the beginning of the study and the follow-up session 4 to 6 months later. But participants who reportedly had relatively high levels of intimacy afterglow seemed to fare better relative to their peers, reporting higher initial marital satisfaction and less steep declines in satisfaction across the first 4 to 6 months of marriage. So, and they go on to, in deeper. Again, I'll leave this below. But basically what they're saying is if you are close with your partner every 2 or 3 days, it keeps the bond tighter. It keeps more satisfaction in the relationship. However, we often know, as guys, we know this, it's not just a joke that's been around since forever, that once you say you do, she doesn't. That over time, that wanes and that goes away. And as that goes away, the bond that you two have starts to weaken. This is what they call, and now, so in this one, what I'm trying to basically get across is that bond does mean importance, it means closeness, and it means a satisfaction in the relationship. So that bond means something. But this is to both people, both men and women. We're not at the differences yet. It's still important to both. Next, how the love hormone works its magic. Now, this is where we start separating the guys from the gals on this one. It says a whiff of oxytocin lit up a reward center in men's brains when they looked at their partner's face. Scientists and women everywhere have long wondered exactly what keeps a man from straying with a stranger. From a biological perspective, at least, cheating is easy to understand. The more partners a man has, the more likely he'll pass on his genetic material. So why do many men settle down, get married, and stick around to raise their kids? Researchers think they may have found a clue in oxytocin, a hormone released during intimacy and other intimate gestures like hugging or holding hands that's been proven to strengthen social bonds in other mammals. They found that the hormone appears to boost men's attraction to their mate, even when presented with pictures of other women. The findings are published this week's issue of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. In the study, 20 men who were in committed relationships for 28 months on average took whiffs of either oxytocin, nasal spray, or an inactive placebo spray. For the first test, men looked at pictures of their partner, a woman they'd never met, or a house. The photos of the women were carefully matched so that one was not more attractive than the other. In the second experiment, they looked at pictures of their partners or of women they knew but were not related to, perhaps someone they saw at work every day. Then the men rated the attraction they felt to the various faces. Men consistently rated their partners as being more attractive and arousing than other women, and in most cases, a whiff of oxytocin boosted that effect compared to the placebo. But what really fascinated the researchers was what happened inside the men's brains. Under the influence of oxytocin, two areas of the brain responsible for feelings of reward and pleasure lit up when men saw their partners' faces, but the sight of other women had the opposite effect, suppressing feelings of pleasure. Oxytocin triggers the reward system to activate on the partner's face the presence of the partner, said Dr. Reen Hurlman, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Bonn in Germany. The monogamy is actually quite costly for males, so there must be some form of mechanism binding males and females together, at least for some time. There must be some benefit, and reward is actually the strongest motivation underlying human behavior. An expert who was not involved in the study said the results suggest that couples who keep a high level of intimacy in their relationships can maintain stronger bonds. When you're first becoming intimate, you're releasing lots of dopamine and oxytocin. That creates the link between neural systems that are processing your facial cues, your voice, and the reward system of a partner's brain, said Larry Young, a professor of psychiatry at Emory University in Atlanta. He studies the role of oxytocin in social bonding. So you can see where we're going with this, right? But specifically, men have this oxytocin release. Now, both partners do, but men, it bonds them closer to the women. And that in the other studies that I've read, and they may mention it in this one, I don't recall. But the reason being is because men naturally want to hit it and quit it. Nature tells them, hey, the more you can procreate, the more your DNA gets out there and the more offspring you'll have. That is a male's imperative by nature, by biology. So what keeps them from doing this is, number one, social norms. And number two, the bonding that occurs when they're with one single partner. So it's kind of been designed that a guy will always have the drive to be with multiple, but once he's bonded with a woman, as they say here, the attraction to other women actually decreases, so long as his needs are being met by his main partner. They continue on, as time goes on and couples become less intimate, Young noted that the linkage can decay, but activities that release oxytocin, such as really looking into another person's eyes, holding hands, kissing, and having intimacy may help restore the connection. To me, it suggests there may be a way to help prevent the decay that can occur that leads to couples to separate. I think this is the only reason that we do hug and touch each other all the time. I think this is the mechanism that keeps oxytocin levels in high relationships. So why do men go astray sometimes? Because this bonding is breaking down. Why is the bonding breaking down? The intimacy has gone away. And so as long as, and I can't say this in all cases, but again, it seems to show that as long as a man is close to a woman, whether he's married to her, dating her for a long term, and she is providing the intimacy that keeps that bond strong, he finds her more attractive and other women less attractive. So his desire for other mates actually goes down so long as he's with a good partner. So there is a bonding from the male to the female, but we don't know of the reverse. Actually, we do. I did it in another video a long, long time ago, but we'll get there. Moving on. This is an article from the medinstitute.org, and I'll scroll up here, pair bonding in the brain. There's a specific, now this is a study on voles, but they found that voles are very similar to humans in both the way they bond and pair bond, and they've used them for a very long time. So let me dive into this. And again, if you want to get deeper into it, I'll leave this all below. The neurophysiology of pair bonding is very complex, which makes it difficult to explain in layman's language. That is one reason that Hooked has been such a popular read. The authors were able to break down for parents and others concerned adults these difficult brain processes in an understandable, relatable way. However, as the explanations get passed on by word of mouth, the pitfall of oversimplification can quickly turn to misunderstanding and inaccuracy. As people become familiar with oxytocin, a neurochemical that is critically involved with bonding, a common erroneous theme emerged that oxytocin production decreased with repeated closeness, and thus people who had repeated closeness with multiple partners no longer had the ability to bond with partners due to a lack of oxytocin. The truth is that people can damage their ability to bond, but it is not because of a decrease in oxytocin production. It is a much more complicated process involving brain molding, other neurochemicals, and higher brain functions. Our behavior actually changes our brain. The connections between neurons that are stimulated by our actions increase with more use and decrease with less use. When a couple engages in close bedroom behavior, neurotransmitters such as oxytocin, vasopressin, and dopamine stimulate formation of synaptic connections in the brain, associating the pleasure of intimacy with the partners involved, encouraging them to bond and have more intimacy together, leading to the beginning of a family unit. And I'm going to jump down to the last paragraph here, because I think this is the one that's most related. However, when an individual chooses to engage in casual intimacy, breaking bond after bond with each new partner, the brain forms a new synaptic map of one-night stands. This pattern becomes the new normal for the individual. When and if the individual later desires to find a more permanent partner, the brain mapping will have to be overcome, making a permanent bond more difficult to achieve. Often the individual is not aware that the brain is adapted to the behavior pattern, and she begins to think, "This is just the way I am," further reinforcing the pattern. In conclusion, research on bonding continues to support previous research showing that the brain is strongly influenced by bedroom behaviors. Dopamine pathways, as well as oxytocin and vasopressin and other neurosymptoms, are important factors in the information or the formation of bonds. When a person engages in an intimate behavior, there are consequences above and beyond the possibility of unwanted pregnancy and STIs. Bonding with this intimate partner is one of those results. So, here's what we have. Guy goes out, he has his fun, but he does have problems with bonding. However, he is genetically predisposed to do this. Men are hardwired to go out and roam and try to spread the seed, so to speak. So he's kind of doing what biology expects him to do. Thus, it's not rewiring him the same way. And once he does find one partner to be with, the pattern of bonding is not enough to overcome, at least is the way I've read it. You guys can read it and tell me if you think differently. The pattern of of what he has done and his having his fun does not override the oxytocin and the bonding that he gets with his partner that he actually chooses to stay with, so long as he's continually getting that afterglow, as they called it, or every couple of days he gets his kind of his satiation. He gets his needs met. So because a man's predisposed to do that, it doesn't bother him as much to do so. It still doesn't ruin him his bonding ability for a woman, because biology has kind of designed it to make this bond happen, to stop the man from going out and doing what males normally do in the wild. For a woman, however, she does not have that same bonding mechanism. And after multiple partners here, as they express, she does not have the same ability to overcome that habit or that broken bond, the way the neurotransmitters or the pathways have made themselves because of the repeated bad behavior. There is nothing to help her overcome that. And so she has to just do it by sheer will. There isn't a biology, because women weren't designed to do this, at least according to what I've read. Now, this is from PaulDavidPhD.com. This is a PDF that I was looking over. And let me see if I can go up to the top and read his beginning here. It's a long read. Pair bonding and evolutionary perspective on intimacy. And this is down here. I just highlighted this again because I'm keeping them short. But please, good reads. Again, for intimacy to be optimal, all four dimensions, intimacy, romance, friendship, and attachment need to be incorporated into human pair bonding. That's why alternatives like polyamory are going to have a limited viability. In an effort to do away with exclusivity, partners in this alternative reserve the right to have multiple intimate relationships with the proviso that they also have full knowledge of their partner's other intimate involvement. By doing away with exclusivity, the alternative seeks to minimize the problems of dishonesty and boredom that so often rise in monogamy. However, while minimizing some of these problems, the active couples are often confronted with other major difficulties in the form of possessiveness and jealousy that typically arise in the pursuit of extradiactic relationships. The reality is that all forms of mating favor some aspects of intimacy at the expense of others. The challenge is being able to form relationships that enable the integrated balance of intimacy, romance, friendship, and attachment. While exclusive monogamy certainly favors the human need for long-term attachment, this form of bonding also provides the most possibilities for integrating mature, intimate romance, friendship, and intimate relationships as the more primary form of bonding. Attachment provides the essential structure through which all of those other needs can be met over the course of an intimate relationship. Putting it in another way, without the attachment, security, and continuity involved in the exclusive monogamy, humans are limited in the extent to which they can integrate and sustain a healthy bedroom romance, friendship, and intimate relationships. For better or worse, this appears to be our evolutionary fate as humans. Okay, lots of science there. I know that was a lot to chew through, and I'm not even going to get to the last page that I have here. But here's the whole science that they talk about, is that multiple partners by both parties don't really end up doing very well. The divorce rates are higher. The satisfaction in future relationships are not as much. However, because men primarily have this wired into our DNA to try to go out and have as many sire as many offspring as we can, it's kind of already in our DNA to do this. And there is actually, it appears to be, overrides in the brain that will help a guy bond to one person that he becomes close to. The female of almost all species, but also women, are not naturally designed to have so many partners, because before the invention of the pill, women would get pregnant. And they would not have a way to, if they didn't have a male or a village or someone to protect them and provide for them while they were in this state, there was a real danger that not only she, but her offspring would not survive. So they were more careful to try to make sure to get the best guy they could get, both DNA, health, strength, prosperity, whoever could take care of them and their young, the best. And that would they would try to get that one male to stop being with many and just be with her. But if she was successful in providing him the intimacy that he needed, and he felt started to feel close to her and bonded to her, there was a chemical reaction that would help him bond to her. But women do not have this because they weren't designed to just freely go about like men do. And so they don't have many of the science biological wiring to help them rebond with a single individual. Thus, if she gets in the habit of partner after partner after partner in short term where they're meaningless and there's nothing behind them, the chemicals will actually rewire in the brain to say this is normal and this is what you should be doing. Then when she decides to be with just one partner or settle down, that desire to keep going and finding other partners and feels like normal to them. It feels like this is what is expected, and it's not a conscious thought. It's the chemical wiring in the brain. They don't have the backup system of the bonding to one individual like the man does. That's why many men can be playboys, still find a wonderful woman, decide to settle down and have a family, and not wander, so long as their needs in the bedroom are being met. This isn't in all cases. But it's primarily, it seems to be the case, because again, men were hardwired for this. However, when a woman does the same, there isn't that reuptake of the oxytocin and some of the other wiring that happens to help that woman bond to the man in the same way. Which is why many times it is said that men will always love women, their woman, more than the woman will love a man. Even if he's the only woman, or even if he's the only man that she's ever been with, it's designed so that if he were to not survive or not make it or not be a suitable partner anymore, she can shift her allegiance over to someone new that provides the things that she needs for her and her offspring and can care for this person. Not to the same degree as the man does her, but to some degree, so long as he provides what she needs for her and her offspring. It's kind of really interesting, and again, I'll put these all down below, but I thought I'd put the science of this out there so that when guys get into when we talk about pair bonding and why it matters with the number of partners that someone's had, this is the science behind it. Now, when you want to talk about the emotions of it, this is the way that the best way that I've seen, that I've read somewhere, and I'll try to put it into my own words. Ladies, if you are listening to this, imagine a man on his 18th birthday is given $1 billion. And if you were to marry him right then and there, that billion would be yours and his and the family's to use. But instead, he decides he wants to be a playboy and he wants to go with all these hot models, just have his fun, casual flings, and each one he gives $1 million to. Or $5 million to. He's just handing out his money like it means nothing. Just casual, just fun. And then one day, he's 33 years old. He has no money left. He has nothing. And you, who wanted to be with him, who told him you liked him, you thought he was handsome and successful and well off, and there was a lot about him, and you just wanted him to get to know you. But he ignored you. And he blew you off to go be with all these beautiful supermodels, beautiful bodies, young, attractive. And he blew all his money on them. And now he's penniless. And he turns to you at 33 years old and broke. And he maybe even has kids by that point with some of the models. And he turns to you and he says, you know what? I've grown up now. I'm ready to settle down. Do you want me? A woman would say, you know something? I might have wanted you $100 million ago. I might have wanted you when you had a little bit more to offer me. But now you're broke. Now you threw all your fun away on and spent all this lavish time and wonderful things on all these women when I was here for you the whole time and you blew me off. And now that you have nothing to give me, now you come begging for me? Now you want me? Now? No, I'm not interested. You should have come to me when maybe you had a little bit more to offer. Well, this is the way that young men and many men look at relationships now. When a woman has her youth and her beauty, and a man says, you know what? I think you're beautiful. I think you're smart. I think you're wonderful. I may not be the best guy in the world, but I'll give you a good life and I'll be a good man to you. And the woman says, no, I want to have my fun and I want to spend my beauty and my youth and my time with all these other men. And then at 33, when she's not getting the attention she wants anymore, and she's not getting all the guys coming up to her, maybe guys will still try to, you know, have a one night with her, but no one wants to settle down with her. No one wants to, no one's paying attention to her anymore. And she says, you know what? I'm running out of time. I'm running out of my youth. I'm running out of my good years. Now I'm ready to settle down. You're fine. You've got a good job, right? Okay, will you take care of me and maybe my kids or just me? And yes, I'm intelligent. I have a good job. I'm a wonderful person. But I need to get married and I need to get settled down because I do want to have kids and it gets hard mid-30s. But I'm ready now. That guy says, where were you when you were, where were your best years? Where were you when you had more to offer as far as that youth and beauty? Because a man's money, if he does well for himself, you know, other than inflation, $1 million is $1 million anywhere in your life. So as men get older, their finances don't go away. They usually get better. But as women age, their beauty does fade. They get wrinkles. Gravity takes over and takes over for all of us. But men do age differently. And men still are able to provide right up until the day they die. So a man's money at 80 is just as good as a man's money at 20. He may not be quite as attractive to date. This is where this comes into, where guys learn about a woman's past. And when she says, I gave it all away for free or very cheap to many guys, it loses its value. Because a guy says, well, now you're coming to me after you had all this fun and you're ready to settle down and you can't bond. You can't be close to anybody. You had all this fun and I know the marriage statistics and I know the infidelity statistics and I know how all of this works out. There's too much risk here for me, so I'm out. And that's what happens. And it's partially science, and it's partially society, and it's partially the fact that a guy, young men, will bust their tails. I mean, look at all these simps out there that are literally spending money for nothing. Guys will go out way too far, farther than they should, to go get attention from a woman. And a woman could have one of these guys, and not necessarily this, but a woman, if she really said, hey, you know what, I'm going to find the right guy, and I'm going to make him dedicate himself to me, and I'm going to dedicate myself to him. Guys are down for that. There's a lot of guys that are traditional out there. But because this is what happens, and because she gives all her monetary youth away when she's young, and then she shows up and says, I'm ready, guys aren't interested. But guys aren't interested when they're 22 and 25 and 27 and 30 and all the way up through now, because they've seen what's happened to their older friends. They've seen what has happened in men's communities. They see what happens in the divorce courts. They see what happens in society. So before they even have a chance to go looking, a lot of guys are saying, no, I know the math behind this. I know what happens and I'm out. So there's some science, guys. Take a look at some of this stuff if you want to dig a little bit deeper in it. I thought it'd be an interesting topic for tonight, but I will leave it there because we're way long anyway. Guys, this is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. And remember, when a guy says, I'm out or I'm not interested or you've got too crazy a past, well, now there's science behind it. And now maybe people can understand a little bit better why a man doesn't want the leftovers. He'd rather have it first place or no place at all.